Staining Alive with Rita Steele, thanks to Kraft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners.
Change of plans today. We don't have Rita Steele, but we do have Anna Beth from Forest and Bird on the phone.
Kia ora, how's it going?
Kia ora, how are you?
Thanks for taking the time to have a chat with us.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for talking about whitebait. Really important.
Right on. Yeah, I feel like I am heavily undereducated when it comes to whitebait. I've been saying all sorts of stupid stuff leading up to this point, and now I might just be quiet and let you say what's up.
Ah, that's funny. Well, do you know that there are five different fish in the whitebait catch?
Nope.
Actually, it's pretty strange. There are six, but five of them are migratory galaxids. They're galaxids, really sparkly, like the galaxy. That's what they got their name.
Cool.
And migratory, they go from the ocean into freshwater, and then the eggs float back out to the ocean and, you know, rinse and repeat sort of thing. So they've got a really interesting life cycle, which incorporates, you know, going all the way up into the headwaters for the coato, which is the one of my favorite whitebait species. And then inanga, which is another one that people know about, that fish actually sprays its eggs onto tall grasses on the sides of rivers.
What?
And it takes a big flood to come and wash the eggs out into the ocean where they hatch and eat and grow and migrate back up.
Zany.
And when they migrate back up, that's when the fishermen come to catch the whitebait.
And how did the trend come about to eat whitebait when it was super small? Like, how come, well, it grows to, like, quite a big size, like over a foot, right, kind of thing?
Yeah, well, they come back in huge shoals, and the thing is, Māori have been doing it for ages, and so when Pākehā settlers came in, they saw it, and they thought, ah, we want to do that too, that looks good, and
classic
then they
Pākehā.
Devised, yeah, different types of nets than Māori had, than the traditional ones made out of flax, but, yeah, so it's been around for ages, white baiting, and it's definitely a deep part of our culture, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's why it's problematic, right?
Well, it's only problematic because the fish aren't doing so well.
Right.
So, you know, three of those five migratory galaxids, those whitebait species that I told you about, they're endangered at the moment.
Okay.
So, you know, we've got to do more to protect them.
Is it due to overfishing, or is it just degradation of their environment, which is giving, you know, the whitebait grief,
like grunty style fishing?
I wish I could say it was one or the other, but the thing is, it's death by a thousand cuts for our native New Zealand freshwater fish. So not only do they have destruction of habitat as an issue, and, you know, just poor water quality,
a little bit of cow shit in there, that kind of thing.
Fishing will also be a stress that we can handle right now. So, you know, there's lots of stuff going on to reform water quality and habitat restoration. But what we've got right now is an opportunity to reform the whitebait fishery. And what's crazy is that this is the only fish in New Zealand that doesn't have a catch limit, a license, or any data on how much is caught for food.
Is that because it's so small?
No, it's massive, especially in South Island.
Yeah, okay.
But it also goes, this is even commercial. There's no commercial limits on this fish.
Nothing.
Which
so,
seems
yeah,
crazy.
You could go out with your net. Yeah, you could go out with your net every single day of the season, and you could catch 1,000 kilos.
Right. Wow. Okay. And are we, like, catching this sort of the realization that they're threatened? Are we catching it at a good time? Do you think there's plenty of chance for us to kind of, like, sustainably draw up a plan and, like, figure it out? Like, how long does it take to, like, government to put something in place to put limitations and stuff on it? Is that, like, a quick turnaround for that kind of thing? I feel like.
So what the government has proposed this year, it's the first time that they're looking at reforming the fishery in something like 20 or 30 years.
Cool.
So this is a magic opportunity that we've got to take advantage of. But what they're proposing is pretty pathetic, in my opinion.
Okay.
They're looking at changing the season so it's a little bit shorter. That's good. They're looking at putting some refuges in, so that would be rivers that are off limits to fishing, which also can be helpful. But if you can imagine that you can go out and catch an unlimited amount of an endangered fish, I don't know how those small changes are really going to protect these fish.
Yeah.
And we know with climate change, things are going to get way more complicated. You know, ocean currents change, temperatures change, the whole habitat system is going to change for the freshwater environment. So we've really got to get these fish to a safe and stable place now, especially since fish populations can collapse, you know, overnight sort of thing.
Why has the government not looked at imposing limits on commercial fishing of whitebait?
I think that they're not prepared to take the political backlash because...
the heritage that comes behind it?
No, it's not even that. I think that, you know, the government has done some serious work on water quality, which got a huge backlash from the farming community.
Mm.
And, you know, the next sort of loudest, proudest group in New Zealand is probably the white bay fishers. So I think they're just a bit scared in an election year, which is unfortunate because we're talking about the sustainability of a fishery, but we're also talking about the long-term viability of native fish that are found nowhere else in the world.
Do you know why they're called white bait? Is it like, were they good for bait for other fish or something?
I have no idea. That is a really great question. I haven't been asked that one before.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Sorry.
No worries.
If anyone does know out there, give us a text on 5395. We're interested to know.
So
I'm sure there's an original Maori name as well. But
yeah, the inanga, the koaro, right. The kokopo species. There's three kokopo species.
Cool.
So where to from here? I mean, obviously, if we are going to be looking at some new legislation around white baiting, can we make any submissions or anything like that if we wish to?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. Yeah, so Forest and Bird has a submission up, so you can check out White Bait Submission Forest and Bird, and you can sign up the generic one that we've got, which basically says these are the basics we need. You can also write your own personal submission if you want. Reach out freshwater@forestandbird.org.nz and we can give you the materials to write your own submission. Submissions close on the 2nd of March. Another thing you can do is if you're really passionate about it, there are meetings, there are consultation meetings around the country. So have a look on the Department of Conservation's website for the dates and locations of the meetings. Those will be on for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think the most important thing is put in a submission.
What?
Just put in a submission?
Yeah. So go onto our website and sign on to our submission.
Okay. That easy, that easy.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Annabeth from Forest and Bird, thank you for taking some time to chat to us here in Auckland all the way from Wellington.
Telling us about the white bait.
Save those little critters. Sign our submission.
Right on. Hey, take it easy out there and we'll see you when we see you.
Okay. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Learning about white bait.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Kraft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners. Go to krafthomes.co.nz.